With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with a club update, this time talking all things Crystal Palace, but specifically the fact that in the last 36 hours or so, Alan Pardew is out the door as manager of Crystal Palace. In comes former England manager, quote-unquote, Sam Allardyce. We have with us Jay from TheEaglesBeak.com. Jay, I guess let's just start with kind of the feeling around this whole whirlwind that's taken place over such a short period of time.
Yeah, what day is it? I've forgotten where I am now. it's been a crazy... It's just over 24 hours now since Pardew, or the announcement of Pardew. And I was just saying, you know, before the pod that we didn't really get any heads up on it that Pardew was leaving Palace. A statement came on the Palace website just before 3 p.m. UK time, and then all hell broke loose on social media and everywhere. And as I mentioned on my mobile as well, it was crazy. And it's really bizarre because normally you tend to get a feeling of how things are going to work at clubs, and you know, there's sometimes a few tip offs, and you know, the word of mouth goes around. But this time, nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's really bizarre because a lot of us thought, well, you know, United and Chelsea in quick succession, you know, we lost narrowly to both teams. Probably could have got something out of either of those two games, and we didn't play too badly, really. So a lot of us thought, we're going to Christmas with Pardew and then and see what the Watford game brings on Boxing Day. But no, that's not the case. Thursday came and went as it did, and Pardew was out of the club. And there's obviously a plan, because Thursday, right before Christmas, and that was 4 or 5 days after the Chelsea game, it seemed odd timing. But I think as we now find out that Sam Allardyce has been appointed, it seems that, you know, there's obviously work going on behind the scenes, and to get somebody in, I think Steve Parrish actually said that the aim was to get somebody in before the Watford game. And obviously with Christmas coming up quite quickly, it wouldn't be much happening on Christmas Day. So goodbye to Pardew, Alan Pardew. Thanks for the memories. There were several good memories, I have to say. I have to be clear, it's not all been bad, as some people make out. Yeah, we got to the cup final last year, a good cup run. Not far off from winning the cup final for the first time in our history, to be fair. But the form in 2016, as everybody knows and has seen on, you know, across social media and different sports websites, it's been absolutely atrocious. So it would be good to see the back of that form. and we've got a couple of games until we see out this horrible year for Palace and move into a new year with Sam Allardyce in charge.
Yeah, as you say, it was not a fun year. What was that, like a month ago that you had that stat that you hadn't kept a clean sheet since like April? So that wasn't particularly covering himself in glory. But on the other hand, your attack had been working very well. I think you have a top 6 or 7 attack in the Premier League at the moment. How do you think that will shift under new man Sam Allardyce?
Interesting one. There has been a lot said about the way Sam Allardyce sets out his teams and how they play football. But I think you do have to look back a little bit further to his days at Bolton, when he brought the likes of JJ Okocha in and Yuri Djorkaeff, both fantastic players in their own right. And that was a good, solid team, but they were attacking and entertaining as well. JJ Okocha was one of the best midfielders, entertaining midfielders I've ever seen play the game of football in England here. And bold statement it may be, but I just remember seeing him and signing, thinking, you know, Okocha to Bolton, really? And that was Allardyce. He was there at the time. Obviously, you could argue that, you know, West Ham had their moments as well. You know, they played very good football at times, but on the flip side, they could park the bus, as they did on a few occasions. And it's that latter bit that Palace have struggled to do. You know, before Alan Pardew was appointed, we had Tony Pulis, and that Tony Pulis system was work from the back, and we had a very good defence, and we worked from that, and it wasn't great to watch. It wasn't good football to watch, admittedly, but it got us results and it got us to, you know, a top 10 finish, which was, you know, tremendous, really, from our perspective and for a size of our club. And, you know, this is our fourth consecutive season in the Premier League. And I think the owners have looked at it and thought, you know, how much longer can we go in charge of Alan Pardew and losing games? And it's you know, it's not games that we're getting soundly beaten in. It's silly mistakes. It's lack of concentration. It's a lot of injuries. There's so many kind of finger pointing to different things. It's not just one thing. It's several things. And I find it bizarre that, you know, everyone's saying Alan Pardew was sacked, and behind the scenes it probably was a case. Well, you know, I said to Pardew, you know, you are one of the club favourites, you know, former player, things like that. And the statement came out online, which was all kind of put in the text of Alan Pardew, rather than the club saying, oh, we've sacked our manager or we've parted company, whichever. It was all from Alan Pardew and put in that kind of text. So that was interesting alone. Personally, I'd like to thank Alan Pardew. I really wanted it to work. But, you know, it didn't. It hasn't worked. You know, we played some good football at times, but I think Steve Parish is probably on the right track where he says, you know, we tried the expansive football thing and didn't really work. It hasn't really worked for us. Just look at in the table now. And, you know, he said that about stepping back in time a little bit in not so many words. And I think that's right to an extent, but I think Sam Allardyce is perhaps, can I say, a bigger character than Pardew? I know Pardew is a big character, but I think Allardyce is a presence, and I think the players will feel that. And I think Keith Millen alluded to it earlier, and you know, the assistant at Palace, that, you know, he will come in and sort the players out. And, you know, there has been suggestions that some of the players perhaps haven't been pulling their own weight, putting in the performances that perhaps they should be and not playing for the manager. So hopefully Sam Allardyce will sort a few of those out and will do what he needs to do, like he did at Sunderland last year. You know, some people think it's probably a short-term solution, but, you know, we're in 17th place in the Premier League. We can't get relegated. It will be a travesty for the club to get relegated, and Parish knows that, both from a footballing and business perspective, and obviously, ultimately, football is a business now, and that's how decisions are made. So you can see why decisions have been made. Probably, you know, about time. Could have been done a bit sooner, perhaps, but, yeah, I think it's the right appointment and the right time for us.
You mentioned Steve Parish there a few times. Do you think he's made the right decision, and is there any accountability on him?
It's a difficult one. I think he could have... I mean, the ultimate decision lied with him, and obviously with the backing of the American investors. The decision probably could have been made sooner, because you don't get relegated from the Premier League by losing to teams like Manchester United and Chelsea. You lose, you know, when you lose, you know, we drew with Hull 3-3. We lost to Swansea 5-4. You know, those are the games that you need to pick up the points from. And those are the games that will get you relegated if you don't get the wins or get the points out of. Is it right to sack him after the Chelsea game? I guess timing wise, it could have been better. Because, you know, he left on the Thursday before Christmas. Not saying he should have been set before Christmas, but I think that, you know, there's probably a time and a place. But I think all the pieces of the puzzle kind of fell into place. You know, there's clearly been contact with Sam Allardyce. Pardew must have been aware of that, and it's kind of gone through as a smooth transition as much as these things can be. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Sam can do with Palace, really. I mean, there's been a lot of negative comments about him. I think the dream appointment would have been somebody like Roberto Mancini alongside an assistant in Lombardo, who obviously has roots at Palace, you know, very fondly remembered when he played for Palace. So that would have been the dream appointment. But even perhaps, could that have been a gamble? Maybe it could have been. Sam Allardyce has a proven track record at this end of the Premier League, and very recently as well, when you look at Sunderland. So I think it's probably right for us at the moment.
Yeah, and you mentioned how far you are down. You're 17th in the league right now. I don't think a lot of neutrals are aware that it was going this poorly. Was having your backs up against relegation really the feeling around Palace, or was there still a feeling that it could have been turned around?
I think Pardew had lost a lot of the fan base, to be honest. There were plenty still clinging on thinking that he could turn it around. I mean, I mentioned those two performances against Chelsea and Manchester United. There were some atrocious decisions in that United game, to be fair. And sometimes, we've said it before, managers, you know, sometimes some decisions go against you and it kind of compounds matters a little bit. But, you know, the referee was atrocious that night and he made some decisions, for United as well, which were pretty poor. The Chelsea game, again, you know, we conceded goals in both those two games at the wrong time, you know, right before half time in both those games, and the United game right at the end of the game for the second. So there's obviously something happening or something that's not quite right, whether it's just the level of concentration not working, or even before that, games before that, that was silly mistakes. So I would say after the second half of last season, Pardew had to get a good start this season to kind of banish some of that negative feeling towards him. Even though we got to the cup final, the second half of 2016 was atrocious in the Premier League. It really was. And that first half of the season saved us, really, because, yeah, we got to the end of the season. I think it was third game from the end. We won at home to Norwich. We couldn't find a win from anywhere. We got that win, and that effectively sealed another season in the Premier League, however surprising that may have been after how we started the season. So, it sounds ridiculous, but from that first game of this season, Pardew was under pressure. You know, we lost that first game, then we lost the second, they lost the opening two games, and straight away, Pardew was feeling the pressure. Then, you know, a bit of a reaction after that to go on, you know, a five-game unbeaten streak, and then back to that terrible run of form that seems to follow Pardew to every club. It's something you just can't seem to get out of, which is very peculiar. I think a lot of fans, I would say, from the start of the season, have been quite negative and have wanted him to go, and that's got more vociferous as the weeks have passed, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, we can bury all of that in the past, because that's what it is. Now we can look forward to the future. Obviously, the squad does need some depth in January. Any idea towards the positions or targets he may have now that Allardyce is in charge?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what Allardyce's views are initially. I mean, from our perspective, the fullback position, as I've said before many times, that both left back and right back are areas which need some kind of overhaul. Also, at the moment, we've got James Tompkins out, which leaves us very short at centre back. We experienced a period of about 4 weeks, which was about five games, without Scott Dan, which, while we got some results in that time, wasn't that great to be losing our best defender. And also up front, Benteke can't do it all on his own. But I think Benteke is one of the points that Allardyce will think, actually, we can use him a lot more than we do. And I think that's exactly a point. Use him to his strengths, which we haven't always done. He scored the goals for us. He's kind of been that player that we kind of hoped he would, but not quite as much as, if that makes sense. We expect a little bit more from him. But he has got the goals, so he can score the goals. He just needs that support and that, with wing players like Zaha and Townsend, you know, I think the focus is going to be getting the ball onto his head and let Benteke do the rest. So he does need support. I think I mentioned before Loic Remy's at the club. People seem to forget Loic Remy. He signed on loan, the season on loan from Chelsea in the summer. Hasn't made his debut yet for Palace. Hopefully he will. Hopefully he will be a real help to Benteke. I think he will. I think he'll be, well, he is a new signing, but he will be like a new signing for Allardyce, hopefully, if he gets himself fit for the new year and can really help. He's a good goal scorer. He's a good player. He should be able to help Benteke. He is quality. So it's unfortunate that Pardew hasn't been able to call on him, obviously before now. So I think Allardyce will be licking his lips at this squad, actually. You know, looking at the quality that is there and the potential for it. Maybe I'm blinkered, but I don't believe we are a team that should be in 17th. We haven't lived up to expectations. We are better than this. With Sam Allardyce in charge to sort some of the players out and get things back on track and get us defending properly, then it might be at the expense of some of the attacking play, which, you know, was good fun under Pardew, but obviously not so much good fun when you're losing, that, you know, we can hopefully push up the table.
Yeah, I think as soon as you signed him, everybody's immediate assumption was, well, now Crystal Palace are safe. For you, as a Palace fan, where do you think you'll finish the season now?
That's a good point. I mean, Allardyce has the experience. Whether he will hit the ground running, I just think he's got a squad of players that he can call upon and he can rally them. You know, we've got players in the squad. Players like MacArthur and Ledley will love having a manager like Allardyce in charge, because I think they will thrive under him. And, you know, McArthur's been brilliant already this season anyway, so no doubt about that. You know, those kind of battling players, there is a question about how some of the flair players will react. But, you know, he's managed flair players before. You know, he was, the FA saw something in him to be England manager, which I kind of half agree with, because I thought he would get the England players playing for the shirt, which hasn't happened for years. So I'm hopeful that he can G up the players, sort them out, sort out the ones that perhaps weren't playing for Pardew, and get things sorted. We weren't that far away under Pardew, which is a disappointing thing. So I don't think Big Sam has a bigger job as some people are making out that he has. A couple of tweaks here and there, a couple of additions in January, and I think we'll be pushing, I think we'll be pushing 12th, 13th place at least this season.
Fair enough, and I really wish I had said this in the middle so that we could end it on that upbeat note, but obviously he was sacked from the England job for a reason. Do you have any concern about that with him coming to the club, even if you aren't concerned about him doing it again, just that kind of reputation now being linked with a club like Crystal Palace?
I think he was foolish. He knows he was foolish, caught up in something which he shouldn't have been caught up in, let down by people that perhaps you know, should really know better. But at the end of the day, in his position, he should never have put himself in that, you know, there so soon after getting the England job, which, you know, it's a mess. You know, he said himself, it's the biggest job he's been given. The trust that was put in him, you know, in that job, and the FA probably had no other option to do what they did. That to me says he has something to prove. There is obviously that undercurrent there that, which you kind of think, oh, do we want a manager like that at our club? Possibly not. I don't think everybody is happy with the decision. For purely football reasons, yes, I will have Sam Allardyce and I will back him at the club. But you have to question sometimes, you know, and managers before him. Have managers been treated the right way for their misdemeanors in the past and, you know, been dealt with as they perhaps should be dealt with? I don't think so. I think there's managers before him that have probably done similar, worse, that haven't been dealt with. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, Tony Pulis has just been through the courts, you know, with Palace. And obviously there's a, you know, Palace won that court case. And there's a question mark about Tony Pulis. And not many people have questioned his job at West Brom. You know, you can question their integrity. But from a purely footballing perspective, I think he will do a job for us. So, there will always be an undercurrent, I think. I think football is that kind of industry now where people can be caught out, perhaps where they shouldn't be. But that is a real shame. But what can we do? He's been appointed at the club. It's our time to back him now, and we will certainly do that.
Fair enough. Like I said, wish we ended on a higher note. That's going out of order on my part, so sorry about that. But we are out of time. Thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us here. Why don't you tell the folks where they can find you, and I'm sure plenty of news about this very same topic.
Very much so. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back again. Just like to wish everyone listening a very merry Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas. If not, then have a great break over the next few days. You can catch me at the Eagles Beak on Twitter. It is at the Eagles Beak. The website is theeaglesbeak.com. We've got lots of reaction coming up over the next few days on the site, so head on over, check it out. More so probably after Christmas, as we get into the first couple of games of Allardyce's reign. So head on over, check it out, leave your comments for us on Twitter, Facebook, and of course the site as well. So thanks very much for listening.
Yep, and thanks for joining us.